and they're hungry. And but it says us that trust in the Lord will never lack any good thing. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time again to just come and hear of you and hear of your good news, hear of your kindness. And Lord, we just thank you for the ones that were baptized yesterday and their new hearts, their new creations in you. And Lord, just raise them up and guide them and have purpose for them as we know you do. And Lord, for the ones that are struggling at this hour, physically, mentally, emotionally, our family, our friends that struggle, we pray you with them. We pray you be with them. We pray you strengthen them in the Lord. We pray that you give them peace in a time of anxiety. You give them a strength in a time of weakness. And that you let them know how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to continue in Romans. We're on to Romans. Oh, we got the baptismal. Okay, good. Yeah, let's play the, Tom, can we play the baptismal from yesterday? All right. This was yesterday. You can just leave it running. I think it's just me running my mouth after this. But guys, nothing. You talk about purpose in life. We talked about last week. We talked about finding your purpose in life. This is your purpose. To know Him who created you and saved you. This is your purpose. If you don't ever do anything after giving your life to the Lord, you are a success. You are a success. Because you have become, you have gone from disobedience to obedience. Because believing is obedience. We think about, we need to obey all His commands. We need to, but what are His commands? Love and belief. That's it. That's it. The Old Testament's gone. The Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled that law. So we don't have to sacrifice goats and bulls and animals anymore. Jesus, our high priest, was sacrificed once and for all. And when he was sacrificed, he sat down at the right hand of God. That means when you sit down, that means it's over. It's done. Joe, you ever been in a cell meeting and you're teaching and you just sit down? You're finished. You're done. It's over. There's nothing else to be said. Jesus did it all. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. I love what God is doing, you know, because God is doing this because I don't even preach. I don't even preach on baptism. You know, I mean, you know, in theory, we are a Baptist church, but we're probably the most un-Baptist church in the Southern Baptist Convention because we don't really adhere to, you know, all the protocols and stuff like that. We say, hey, we're believers. We're a Christian church. We're a group of believers that believe in God. And we understand who we are in Him because we found grace in His sight. We found mercy. And that's what I want to talk about today, found, being found. And have you ever looked for something or have you ever been looking for something that you really wasn't looking for and you found it? And you're like, wow, I didn't even know this existed. So we're going to talk about today. The title of this sermon is Found by Those Who Did Not Seek Me. So he's talking about, Paul is going to talk about how the gospel, or not the gospel, but the chosen people were the Jewish nation of Israel, were the chosen people of God. And he came to them, born a Jew, under the law, to his own people. And how his own people became stiff-necked and rebellious and put their hand out against him. And so now he's gone to the Gentiles, thank God, because we wouldn't be here. So now the gospel has gone into all the world because there's really only two types of people, Jew or Gentile. That's it. So we talk about found by those who did not seek me. I remember when I was in college, me and my roommate, we were in North Georgia, and I'd never lived anywhere where there are any mountains. So my first exposure to mountains were the little ones called the Appalachian Mountains. And they're the little, I call them the feminine mountains. Because they're green and they're beautiful and they're kind of rolling hills. You come out here and these are the man mountains, the Rockies. You know, so, but the little mountains in Georgia, I think the highest point in Georgia is called Brasstown Bald. It's 4,700 feet. Well, Maria and I have a cabin at 7,600, so that tells you kind of where we're at. But we would ride around after we were done with our studies, and I had a little 1973 Volkswagen Super Beetle, 60 horsepower, four on the floor, air conditioner, 2x55, could two windows down, 55 miles an hour. And we would go exploring in the mountains. And we're out, we're exploring, we're going all the different, and we saw something kind of through the trees. We stopped and we got out and we said, dude, that's like, what is that? And we started hiking down this trail, and it was a beautiful 100-foot waterfall. We weren't even looking for waterfalls, but we found it, and it was beautiful. And when we found it, it made us want to see more waterfalls. And so I was kind of relating that when I was thinking about this sermon. I said, when we found God, we want more of him. We want more. We want, hey, more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord. You know, more of you in my life. So we're going to talk about this today, being found by those who do not seek. So Romans chapter 10, if you've got your Bibles or your iPhones or whatever you get your scripture on. It says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his own Jewish brethren. Remember, Paul was a Jew. And he persecuted Christians before his conversion on the road to Damascus, before he met the Lord. And he had that conversion experience on the road. It changed his name from Saul to Paul. And here he is saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them is to be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Now think about this, of all the religions in the world, there are people out there that will cut themselves. There are people out there that will throw themselves off cliffs. There's people out there who do all kinds of crazy things because they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, but they don't even know him. We think about that. We think about there's groups of people from churches all over that go around and they have this zeal. They'll come to your door, they'll go to your business or whatever, and they want to tell you all about, but what, listen carefully what they want to tell you about, their religion, their organization. Please don't ever go around and talk about our church. Please don't ever go around and talk about, oh, you should come to Grace Chapel. We're the only ones that really know anything. We're the only ones that have the truth, because we're not. Go around and talk to people about the Lord. Do you know him? Because he'll change your life. And it really does. That spirit, that new creation, we talked about the people being baptized. They're a new creation now. Guess what? They are righteous now. I talked to a missionary, a little boy that was here, and I asked him this question. I said, are you a sinner or are you a saint? And it puzzled him. He said, well, I'm a little of both. I said, you can't be. It's impossible. You're either a sinner or you are righteous. What are you? Well, I guess I'm righteous. Why do we have such a hard problem with that? Because God, Jesus has accounted his righteousness unto us. So we are righteous. Quit going around telling people, I'm just a wretched sinner. No, you're not. You used to be. What makes you righteous? All your good things you do? All the money you give to the church? All the people you talk to about the zeal I have for God? Does that make you righteous? The clothes you wear? The way you shake hands? No. What makes you righteous is you believe in the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Period. Nothing added, nothing taken away. But why do we struggle with it? Well, I got to do something, Chuck. I got to do something. No, you don't. He did it all. Are you going to go? You want to do something? Go to the cross and hang on it. He said, take up your cross and follow me. How many people did? How many people did that? None. Therefore, we can only say, help me, Lord, save me. I cannot do it. I cannot attain to the righteousness of the Pharisees. I cannot keep the commandments. I've broken every one. He says, no worry. I got you. I got you. I'm going to send my one and only son. And so, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God, wow. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God. Who is the righteousness of God? Jesus. They're ignorant of Jesus. He's standing before them. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Nope, you're from Nazareth, you dirty scoundrel. You're from the other side of the tracks. It would be like saying you're from Magna, Utah. I'm sorry if you live in Magna, Utah. It used to be that way anyway. But for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. How many people do that? They want to say, look at me. Now, I used to be one of those. I grew up, my dad was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, my great-grandfather was a pastor, and I learned how to act. And I learned the language, the Christianese. Sister, how are you doing, sister? Everything good in your life? Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, me too. I'm doing fantastic. No problems. Nothing. Because you know if you say you got a problem, have you read your Bible? Have you been praying? Maybe you've walked away from the Lord. You've backslidden. And they're quick to pull that finger out and say, I know what your problem is. Reason you're sick, Bill. Now, how horrible is this to say something? The reason you're sick, Bill, and got cancer is because you don't have enough faith. But yet there's pastors and churches and people out there that will say that. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto man to do what? Once to die, and after that to face judgment. However, when we stand before the judgment, what do we stand with? Jesus beside us. He's mine. She's mine. There's no judgment for the believer. We've already been judged not guilty by the blood of the Lamb. We got to get back to the basics sometimes. Ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish their own, they do not submit to God's righteousness. Here I am. Here I am. Don't you see the miracles I'm doing? Oh, you're casting out demons from Beelzebub. Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. The house divided cannot stand. You really think I'm doing that? This is how adamantly they denied who Jesus was. But he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who does what? Believes. What I got to do, Chuck? Believe. It sounds too simple. If it was any more complicated, we wouldn't be able to make it, guys. If we had to do anything other than believe, we couldn't do it. And we walk around and we act like we're holy and talk a certain way and look a certain way. God sees our heart. And we have a new heart now. We're a new creation in Christ. So we don't have to feel like we're a rotten old sinner anymore. It says our conscience, even our conscience is clear when we believe. Even when we do something we know is wrong. How many sins are willful? How many sins are willful? All of them. You can't just say the devil made me do it. No, you willfully sin. So does Jesus cover those too? Yes. Wow, what kind of God do we serve? A kind God, a merciful God, who created us in his image. He knew the struggles you were going to have before you ever walked the earth. He knew the purpose for your life before you ever walked the earth. We talked about purpose last week. Nothing can stop God's purpose in your life. Nothing. Think about it over your life. Think over your life. You guys that have lived longer than I have, which is not many people in here. But if you think about back over your life, of all the obstacles you came through, everything you overcame, all the people that stood in your way, all the people that says you can't, you're from the wrong side of the track, you're from Nazareth. That was the bad word they used to say from Jesus. Nothing good could come out of Nazareth because that's where he was born, in Bethlehem. And you think about all those people who stand in the way of the purpose God has for you, they get run over. Because God's purpose will go forward no matter who stands against you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. No worries. So why do we worry? God has a purpose. Nothing can stop it. Well, I don't feel like I have a purpose anymore. Well, look up and see what God has for you and look back over your life and see where he's brought you from. And that's to say, you know, Hank Aaron, Home Run King, Babe Ruth, any of those guys. They were not only home run kings, they were strikeout kings. Go talk to Michael Jordan. He missed 20 shots, and then all of a sudden he'd go on a tangent, hit 40 in a row. And then Hank Aaron would strike out 10 times, and all of a sudden he hit 5 home runs in a row. And so, you know, you look at everything that's tried to come against you, and you just keep going. You just keep going because God sustains us. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So we all can agree, the law is done. We don't live by the law. We live by faith. Amen. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Also talks about whoever lives by the letter of the law dies by the letter of the law. How many commandments are there? We know the Big Ten, right? Everybody thinks about the Big Ten? Well, guess what? There's 603 more. So there's 613 commandments of Moses. You can't eat shellfish. You can't work on the Sabbath day. Well, what did we do yesterday? Anybody work yesterday? Yesterday's the Sabbath, not today. Yeah, so, I mean, it just gets, there's no way you can keep all these. And it points to one person, Jesus. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is word of faith that we proclaim. So what he's saying here is, we're not looking for, you know, when we pray, we don't pray to a God that's up there. That's the way we think about it. Oh, I'm praying to a God that's way up there and he's distant. But by some chance, if I pray enough and humble myself enough, he might just hear me. No, God is within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. He is near to you. You can't get any closer than having someone in you. He is with you everywhere you go. And so what Paul is saying, being asked by, in Luke, I want to emphasize this, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, this is Jesus speaking, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here he is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Some translations will say the kingdom of God is within you. And that's really not as good a translation as within you, within your grasp, among you, because he's talking to the Pharisees here. Listen to who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees. Did the Pharisees claim Jesus Christ? No, the kingdom of God is not in the Pharisees. They're still trying to adhere to the old law of Moses. They're rejecting the new gospel. So he's not talking about the kingdom of God is in you. Kingdom of God was definitely not in the Pharisees. So in the midst of you is the better translation. Jesus is saying the kingdom has already come right under the Pharisees' noses, that God is ruling in the hearts of men. They're being changed one at a time as they hear the good news about Jesus. That's what he's saying. One at a time, you hear and you believe, or you hear and you don't believe. He told them another parable, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So it's just going to, it's like leaven. You put a little bit in there, and over a period of time, it's going to grow. And what did God say? The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. There's believers all over the world right now. And it goes on to say in Luke, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He was talking to the Pharisees here when he accused him, you cast out demons by Beelzebub. And this was when he said, no, hold on a second. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Think about this in relationships. Think about this in your own relationship. If you're always struggling and fighting with your wife or your husband or your friend or whatever, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. It cannot stand. We have to find some common ground to come together. And us as believers have common ground in Jesus Christ. Amen? So Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How simple is that? But yet so many people will not believe. They will not. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What does confession mean? It means to agree with. I agree with God. I was a sinner. I needed saving. Now I confess that he saved me with my mouth. I said, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Now I am saved from death and destruction. I have gone from darkness into light. I think differently. I'll act differently. I'll have a different look on life. It won't be such gloom and doom anymore. Because now I'm living for eternity. Joe and I were talking about we're at the age now where we got a few more years and we'll be asking somebody to carry us by helicopter up to Secret Lake. We won't even be able to hike up there. So we're thinking in terms of temporary. Oh, I got to do something. I got to do it now. Let's think in terms of eternal. You're never going to die. We're never going to die. Well, what's it going to be like? I don't know, but I know this. The Lord says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered the heart of man, nor has anybody ever imagined what God has prepared, the goodness that God has prepared for those who love him. So I know it will be better than here. I don't know what that is. I trust the Lord on that. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. This goes back to the old movie reel we used to talk about when we were growing up, Calvary Chapel and all that kind of stuff. We said, oh yeah, you got a movie reel of your life, and when you die, we're going to show it. And it's going to be up there for everybody to see. Oh God, they're going to see everything? Oh yeah. You're going to be accountable. Until I learned what the gospel was. I'm not accountable anymore. God is remembered. He's forgiven my sins. Not only forgiven my sins, but forgot my sins. He remembers them no more. And I say this every Sunday because we've got to drive this in. It's like, there's not going to be a movie reel because Jesus destroyed the movie reel. He's the movie now. He's the star. And he's probably going to be bringing us popcorn and Coke to go with it. I mean, come on, we can laugh about it. Because he's our Lord. He's our Lord. And so it says, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek now. See, back then there was a big distinction. The Jews, you're over here. You're chosen. Ha! Stinking Gentiles over here. You guys are less. You don't have what we have. Think about the religions that act like that. You don't have what we got. We got something special. What do you got? Well, our organization. What about your organization? Well, you can be a member too. Just give 10%. Do this, do that. And I said, whoa. That's old school stuff, man. Now we freely give. Tithing is for today. It's tithing for today. And I'm rambling on. But no, tithing is not for today. Tithing was an Old Testament commandment for the Levites because they cannot own property. So God told Moses, hey, give a tenth to the Levites and then bring it into my house. Where was his house? The temple at that time. There's no more temple. Your body's the temple of God. We don't need to build a temple. God does not dwell in a temple made by man's hands. Every time you drive by a temple somewhere, I don't care what kind of temple it is, remind yourself that God is not in there. He's right here. Remind yourself of that. For everyone who calls on the name, or just some people. What do they say? Everyone or just some people? Or just good people? Yeah. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. But woe to you. Now here comes the harshness. Because when Jesus was dealing with a sinner, he was always very compassionate. Very compassionate. Neither do I condemn you. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Where are your accusers? There are none, my Lord, neither do I accuse you. Wow, what kind of God do we serve? But woe to you, religious people, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You know, and I was talking to Leighton. Where's Leighton? We every now and then we talk to people that are not believers or whatever, and they call us haters. You're a hater. You're ignorant. You're a bigot. What did I say? I just said, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. What's hating about that? That's love. That's loving somebody enough to tell them the truth. You're about to walk off a 1,000-foot canyon and you have a blindfold on. You cannot see it. I'm trying to help you take the blindfold off and save you, but I'm a hater. But that's what they hated him. They're going to hate you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. Why? Because you look like him. You talk like him. You are like him. Your righteousness, the righteousness of him is in you. And it says, you shut up the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. That's what religion does to us, guys. You got to do all these things, and you got to know the secret handshake. And if you don't, you can't be a part of our little organization here. Everybody ever seen the bumper sticker, I had to leave the church to find God? Yeah, or it's a t-shirt or something. I had to leave the church to find God because the church is preaching all this religious stuff. What you got to do to be holy before God. He will not accept you if you're not a certain way. I'm sorry, what does the Bible say? While we were yet a sinner, God demonstrated his love for us. That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Boy, that's good news for me. Now, if you think you're not a sinner, maybe that's not good news. Correct myself, was a sinner. I'm righteous now. And I've had to learn to say that. Because it just sounds kind of prideful, but it's not. It's not prideful, it's truth. If you are a believer now, you're righteous. You're holy and you're blameless. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. You can't be half saved and half unsaved. You can't be half forgiven and half not forgiven. It's 100%. When you come to the cross, it's 100% by his blood. Amen? Amen. And I won't be much longer, but I just want to finish out Romans 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How many people in here preach the good news? All of us. With our life. With our love. With our compassion. With our grace. I got into an accident one time. Well, I didn't get an accident. A guy hit me in Miami. I was going to the Miami base, Coast Guard base, and I was in a government vehicle. And boy, they really do an investigation when you get into a wreck in a government vehicle. Did you have a seatbelt on? Were you doing the speed limit? Were you on official work-related business? Because if you weren't, that's 30 days on the beach. You know what 30 days on the beach means? 30 days without a paycheck. That's just standard discipline in federal government. So I get rear-ended, and I'm like, thank God I'm in commute time here. And I get out, and this guy is like, dude, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. My brakes. I'm like, dude, it's okay. And I'm like, it's okay, bro. Let's just go over here. I'm going to call the police. I got to get a report because this is an official government vehicle. And he's like, at the end of all this, he goes, can I ask you a question? Why are you so kind? I didn't even think I was being kind. I'm like, I was just being a matter of fact. Hey, it's okay, man. Just calm down. Why are you so kind? I said, because I believe in Jesus Christ. He pardoned all my sins. Has he pardoned yours?
How am I going to hold this against you when he hadn't held anything against me? We all have accidents. We all make mistakes. Wow. You can see the tears coming in his eyes. Because he was expecting me to get out of the truck and go, you no good for nothing, blankety, blankety, blank. I'm going to sue you. But that wasn't what he got. I said, are you okay? I'm okay. It's good. Let's move on. Things happen. So we all preach. We all preach the good news. This is not just for pastors. We should all be pastors of such. We should all be shepherds of such. You know, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go into all the world, baptizing them, make disciples. Right? And so we're all discipling somebody. All of us should be. You're David, you're discipling your kids. Chambray, you are too. Everybody here is a parent, is discipling. And even when you know Joe and your wife, when your kids get older, you're still discipling. Used to be every time my daughter would call, I'd say, how much money do you need? Thank God now she's got a husband who's making enough money that she doesn't need to do that anymore. But, it's one of those things, how much money do you need, baby? Dad, well, I was just going to tell you I love you. Well, okay, that's cool, but how much money do you need? Well, Dad, I really need a couple $100 or a new iPhone or something. Now, my granddaughter really got me last time I went back to Georgia. She came and sat beside me. Hey, granddaddy, how you doing? I'm doing good. Hey, granddaddy, I wanted to tell you. And she got right to it. I mean, I'll give her credit. She got right to it. My iPhone's kind of been acting up because I got her an iPhone. I'm sorry, guys. I did. When she was about 10, I gave her my used one. Because I told my son, Adam, she needs a phone where you can be able to find her. You can track her, actually. We know that. My wife tracks me. I track her. It's true. We track each other. Not because we don't trust each other. But the way that got started was she couldn't speak English back in the day. And I said, I need to be able to find you if something happens. So we start tracking each other. We've always tracked each other. So. But anyway, I digress. She got the new iPhone. And my boys were really, really wanting to rub it in and say, Dad, she worked you, man. I said, it wouldn't take much. And that's the kindness of God, right? I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. My 11-year-old granddaughter does not deserve an iPhone. But I'm going to give that to her because I love her. And that's security for her, too, and safety. And, yeah, we put the parental guidance on because there's a bunch of trash out there. But she's a great girl. And so that's what God does to us. He says, you will not lack for any good thing. Those that trust me, you will not lack for any good thing. The Bible also says, I've never seen the righteous beg bread. You will never go hungry. You know, and we sing songs sometimes that don't make any sense. You know, I hunger for you, Lord. I thirst for you, Lord. Well, actually, if you're a believer, you don't. You're complete. You're filled. Your cup is running over. You don't have to thirst. You don't have to be hungry. Spiritually, God has given you everything you need. We don't even realize how much we have because all we hear is the law and the bad and can't do this, can't do that, quit doing that, clean up your act, not how much God loves us. We need to start realizing how much God loves us. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So here's where Paul gets right back to. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we got to hear it, then we got to believe it. But not all, he said, believed. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For he's saying they don't have an excuse anymore. The Jews have heard. Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? Here again, he's concerned about his brothers, his Jewish brothers' life, eternal life. For Moses says, I will make you jealous. He's talking about the Jews. I'm going to make the Jews jealous of those who are not a nation. The Gentiles didn't have a strong nation. They were scattered abroad. They were barely surviving. With a foolish nation,
I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. So the whole chapter, Romans 10, is talking about the gospel has gone to his people, his chosen people. Now they have not believed. Therefore, the gospel now is being expanded into all the world. And we can say amen to that. Amen to that. And closing out Romans, it says, but of Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let me close out by saying this, guys. What is disobedience? Unbelief. That's it. Well, you gotta, what do I have to do? You gotta believe. There you go. Now you have become obedient. Even though we're going to continue sinning and willfully sinning. You know, it's a special kind of religious person that says, I don't have any sin anymore. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that says you don't sin anymore if you're a believer. Yes, and that's spiritually speaking, you don't. That's where God looks at you and says, you are clean. You are not guilty. Because if there was any sin in your life, you couldn't enter into the presence of the Holy One. Sin cannot enter into the presence of a holy God. And it's why we have to die and we shed this fleshly body and we get our spiritual body, our new body, and we live forever with him. So we can proclaim that. We can be glad of that. We have a future. We have a hope. We have a purpose. We have a future, a hope, and a purpose. And don't forget it as you go around from day to day doing whatever you're doing. I don't care if you're sweeping the floors at Walmart or whatever you're doing. You have a future, a hope, and a purpose because who said so? The God of the universe, Jesus Christ, who sent his own son, shed his own blood, took away the sins of the world for those who believe, said, I am worth something. Everybody say, I am worth something. Because Jesus said I was. Because Jesus said I was. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for another word from you. Lord, we pray that we hear this word, Lord. We don't forget how much you love us. We don't forget what you have in store for us. We don't forget the good things you have for us. We don't forget that we're never thirsty. We're never thirsty again, Lord. We have you. We don't have to thirst after righteousness anymore. We have righteousness in you. Thank you for filling us, Lord. Thank you for making us complete. Thank you for making us obedient when we believe. And now we don't have to struggle against you anymore. It's not a fight anymore. Lord, we know we couldn't do it, but you sent your son to do it. And he said it's finished on the cross. And it's finished. And we can rest in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bill, if you want to pass out communion for us. And then...